Hello and welcome to this special podcast crossover event between Time Flies and the Bonus Room. We are finally back in studio. The New York kid is back on the West Coast.
Hey.
What up, y'all? We got Steph in the building.
What up, man? We're back in a bonus room. It's been a long time coming.
It's been like 3-4 years. I've been super excited about this. We got Santi in the building, the other co-host of the Bonus Room podcast. What up, boy?
What up, what up? We back in the bonus room, you guys. NY to LA. Let's go.
Oh, my God. And we got a special guest also from the East Coast. We got our boy Reed in the building. Reed, what up?
What up, boys? How's it going? Derek, I feel like we glossed over way too quickly the fact that you're back on the West Coast. This is a massive deal. What was it, a 2-3 year hiatus?
Something like that. We could talk about it a little bit.
Your boy is back on our couch, ladies and gentlemen. Sleeping in the bonus room.
I'm back to paying rent. To
eating
Santiago.
Doritos.
Yo, the boy's back on the West Coast. The boy's back. Time Flies is back on the West Coast. Now we're getting back to in-person. No more fucking Zoom podcast episodes. Now we're going to be live and indirect. And we out, baby. Let's go!
Now, it's been a while since we've done the pod. Since we've done the bonus room, since we've done a bonus time. I know, Dale's been pretty keeping it pretty consistent with his Time Flies podcast. But, facts. Santi, bro, it's been a minute for us. So, we got any updates, man? How's life been going?
It's me and Stefan are always working. So, I do real estate full-time. Stefan is applying to get his MBA.
Yes, sir.
He finally came over to the business side, So Stefan's doing big things, and I think Stefan has some big news.
Yeah, everyone. I didn't want to release this information on social media because I just feel like it's pretty private. And if you're listening to this pod, you're probably a good friend of mine, or you're showing love and you're showing support. But I do have an announcement for everyone.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
What is it?
It is a guess.
You got accepted to one of the programs.
Oh, true.
I did, actually.
True.
Are you going to
drop the news? Drop the ones you got accepted already.
Are we doing this like a commitment?
I choose a hat.
Where's the hat? Yeah, exactly. Where's the fucking hat?
No, so Reed, call your family because I'll be joining them in Miami.
Oh, going to South Beach, going back to...
Yeah, what? I got accepted to University of Miami, Herbert School of Business.
Let's go!
But we'll see. We're still waiting on UCLA and a couple other schools to release their decisions, but that's not the big news. That's just, some good news. Uh-huh. The big news is that Clipper Nation is expanding.
Yep.
Seahawk Nation is expanding.
Yep.
Oh my God. No fucking way.
Yep.
Your boy's gonna be a papa.
Oh my fucking God.
That's wild.
Oh my God.
Congratulations. Yeah, appreciate it, man.
The generation continues.
Yo,
the legacy.
Nah, that's fucking news. Holy shit.
That's news. So Clipper, someone has to fill those
seats.
First
and foremost, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations. Oh wow. Okay.
Do we have a name picked out already? Do we even know the gender?
Guess the gender.
Do you know?
Yeah, we found out today.
Okay.
We found out today. Go ahead, Reed. Drop it.
I'm going girl.
Okay. I'm going boy.
Reed's correct.
Reed's hey! Baby
boy. So this NFL Combine we're watching right now, see me there in 21 years with a homie running the 40. New Clipper Arena's opening up this fall.
Wow.
Someone has to fill those seats. So, I got to create the fans, instead of trying to convert them.
Our boy's growing up right in
are
front of
gonna,
our
are
eyes.
You going to try and fill out Clipper fandom like Philip Rivers did with Charger fandom? Just have
pretty
like
much,
10
man.
Kids?
Just pop like 12 of them out, Like I said, we got to fill that wall. I don't know if you guys heard of the wall, the new fan wall.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Now, what are you talking about?
It's so, like straight vertical, stadium. This one section of the stadium.
So they're trying to replicate like a student section of a college basketball game.
Yeah.
So on one end of the court at the new arena, it's going to be all Clipper fans, like from the bottom row all the way up like 100 and something rows. And it's going to be only Clipper fans. Like if you wear opposing fans gear, they're going to like remove you from the section. and you have to be loud. They're going to like give incentives for if you're loud or whatever.
I'm interested in that arena because Steve Ballmer is like... There's been little leaks as far as like the type of arena and the type of atmosphere that he wants. Obviously, we know about the toilets. That's whatever. But then now you're telling me about the fucking fan section. So I feel like they have things that are gonna like differentiate their stadium from other stadiums.
They're trying to be different.
Are we just diving straight into the Clippers? Because I know we were gonna start with Lakers, but
since
we're already on the topic,
might as well. Before we dive into the Clippers, Steph, if you want to do a little breakdown of what the podcast is actually gonna be about.
Well, since you know Daryl's here, we're either talking about one of three things. We're either talking about movies.
Facts.
Music.
Facts.
Or sports. So today we're going to do sports.
Facts.
So
sports is generous. It's always just basketball.
Yeah, you know.
One day we'll get him on the
football. Ball is life, baby. Let's go.
One day we'll get him on the NFL pod. One day.
Never. Once he becomes his Jets fans or
never.
Something.
Never.
But yeah, so we're doing basketball today. We're going to give an update on how the season's going. You know, we all, you know, are fans of various teams around the NBA. So we all want to give, you know, updates on how it's going and what we project for the future as, you know, playoffs are just around the corner. So I'll start with the Clippers. Everyone knows I rock Clip Nation. And if you heard me on the Time Flies podcast that we had earlier in the season.
Yes, sir.
I kind of predicted what's happened. I think I mentioned that, hey, you know, it didn't look like it was working. At some point, the Clippers are going to go on this hot streak. Everyone is going to think, oh, here's the Clippers we've all been waiting for. This is a team. And then somewhere they'll burn out. So far, that's been the case. Now, I didn't, at the time we spoke, the James Harden trade did not happen.
Correct.
So, and that was something I think we discussed.
Yeah, because it was rumored at the time.
It was rumored,
and
yes.
And I think like a couple days later, it actually fucking happened.
And at the time, I was of the opinion that I didn't want to, you know, disrupt whatever sort of camaraderie or flow that in the camp they said they had really built. And they had a really strong chemistry. And I think they started like 3-1 to start the season, or 4-1, something like that. And so it looked really good really early. As everyone knows, there was a James Harden trade. We got rid of Nicholas Batum, Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, and I think some picks.
Kenyon Martin Jr., I believe, too.
Yeah, poor guy never even like set foot on the court as a Clipper before he got traded. And I actually was really interested to see what he could do. So I wasn't really completely mad at the trade, more at the picks, less than the players. Nick Batum, he was a great, great player, but obviously he's old. Marcus Morris, I think if you've been listening to this pod, you know how I feel about him. It was time for him to go. Robert Covington just wasn't clutch when we needed him to be, and his defense was average. So I wasn't completely mad, but the James Harden, you know, reputation of him kind of destroying every team he goes to, him having issues with management and leadership, I didn't want any of that drama to surround the team that already has a lot of drama and a lot of criticism. I just thought this was just another move that they're going to take a lot of heat for. And initially they did. I think they lost 7 straight games.
They lost I think it was the first 5 games. And then after that, they went on a fucking roll.
Yeah, another thing I want to just be very transparent with people. I have been very hesitant to get involved with this team because of my experience with them. Anytime I'm really like involved watching every single game, it just leads to disappointment.
The Clippers curse is real, ladies and gentlemen.
It's coming.
As my brother alluded to, like, I've been busy, you know, pursuing other things at the moment, so it's really hard to like sit for 2.5-3 hours, you know. So I watch highlights though, because you know they're 10-11 minutes, so I try to keep up with the team as much as possible. When the James Harden thing happened, they went and they lost like 5 straight. I was like, I'm done with this team. I can't even spend another like thought on them. But then eventually they got hot. They figured things out. Everyone credits Ty Lue for figuring out the rotations. And they went on this crazy hot streak at the beginning of December. I think from the beginning of December through all of January, I think they had one of the best records, if not the best record in NBA. They beat teams like Golden State twice. They beat the Nuggets. They beat the Celtics on the road. They had a lot of good wins. They beat Miami twice. I think they
fighting words.
Yeah, I like how you had to sneak that one in there.
Fighting words.
They beat the Lakers once during that hot streak. And so that's when I started to pay more attention. I was like, okay, well, it sounds like things are working with James. And after watching them, the offense did seem a bit more fluid. James Harden being that point guard, that pass first point guard that the Clippers have been kind of lacking and looking for the past 5 years. Reggie Jackson, Terrence Mann, and other players have like put into that role, but as we know, those players aren't pure passers. James Harden is more of a pure passer.
He could play a role of being a pure passer.
Well, that's when they were really good, that's what I noticed he was doing a lot of. He wasn't doing as much as his dribble, dribble, shoot, or dribble, dribble, drive, and get fouled.
Right.
So the offense looked really good. The defense looked locked in. It looks like Ty had figured out rotations. No one had got injured at the time, so it looked like things were rolling. Things were good. And then February rolls around and they, you know, they get smacked by Minnesota. I think they got smacked by Cleveland. And then they lost to, and so after All-Star break, they lost to the Kings. They got smacked by them. They lost to OKC, which was also like a 20-point loss. And then just this past Wednesday, we're recording this on Saturday, March 2nd. Just this past Wednesday, they had a 20-point lead over the Lakers. Everyone knows that the Lakers aren't a very good team right now. They're number 10. Yes, they have LeBron. Yes, they have AD. But really, holistically, they're not a very good team. And they had a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they blew it. And LeBron just goes on a fucking heater. Yo. And just and the Clippers end up losing by four. And I've seen all these losses. It's like as soon as I start to pay attention, this team starts to play like shit again.
So you're the fucking curse is basically.
I guess no, so.
I was just about to ask, is it Groundhog Day?
I have no fucking
is
idea.
Is it Groundhog
Day? I didn't watch the Wizards game last night and they won. But I was like, bro, if they better beat the fucking Wizards. Like, I'm
well,
not gonna.
Well, the Laker game, I really think is that you guys were up by 20 and you guys have been owning the Lakers since like 2013. So I feel like you guys just really didn't give a fuck going into it. So that's why you guys let up. I know you don't like it. I'm just telling you what I think happened.
Okay.
I know you don't like it, but I'm just telling you what I think happened. So they don't care. And then LeBron just got on the heater and he just caught one. So,
okay.
You know?
I hear that.
Yeah.
But they have to care. They're, the difference between the number one seed and where they're at, the number four seed, is two games. They should be fighting for a top two seed. A three seed is okay, but they shouldn't be a four seed. Because if you're a four seed, you're probably facing the Phoenix Suns, and that's KD, that's Devin Booker. You never know what could happen in a first round series against them.
You guys are three games back, by the way, from the first spot.
Okay,
three games. Let me ask you this then, Steph. Like,
every game matters.
Take it like a championship out of it, just because the Clippers are the Clippers. What would you consider to be a success this season?
Western Conference Finals appearance, 6-game series minimum.
Okay.
So you, out of your whole monologue talking about the Clippers, the one name I did not hear at all is Russell Westbrook. So the reason why the James Harden trade is actually working is because Russell Westbrook is the one that went to Ty Lue and was like, yo, you know what? I'll come off the bench. Mm-hmm. Which I fucking hate, because James Harden coming to the Clippers, since he hasn't done shit with his career, he should have been the one to be like, you know what? I'm the new guy on the team. I'll be the one to sacrifice. But of course, they traded for him, so they got to accommodate him, which I don't fucking understand why. But I just wanted to give some love to Russell Westbrook. Another point that I want to make about the Clippers is I got to come onto this podcast and give your boy love, Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. Because basically, since we've started this podcast, I've been shitting on him ever since birth, whatever. But Kawhi Leonard has literally been playing every game this season that he possibly can. I think he's missed maybe like barely a handful.
Now, Steph. Knock on wood.
Yeah. So Kawhi Leonard's actually been playing. And Kawhi Leonard, if he's able to stay healthy, which is the same statement every goddamn season, if he's able to make if
it's
he's
like
able
that
to stay
for a lot
healthy,
of players, though, to be fair. It's like that for a lot of players.
Name them.
AD.
Besides AD.
Kevin Durant. Embiid. LeBron James.
Embiid, got you. Kevin Durant, for the millionth time, Kevin Durant's injuries are, they're a rarity, bro. Those injuries that he's had.
Since the Achilles, yeah.
Yeah, the injuries that he's had, it's somebody always rolling. It's always like in January, February. Luckily, he didn't have that injury this year. But this is the shit I was telling you, Santi. It's always like somebody rolling into his knee. Kawhi Leonard's injury. Oh, man, you know what? I don't want to get into
All right,
it.
All right, let's not get into
it. Yeah, sorry.
But I get you. And you're right. Give Kawhi Leonard and Westbrook a lot of credit. I think Westbrook has found his fit on the team. I don't know if you're aware, he fractured his hand against the Wizards last night.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, so I don't know what the timetable is for. I mean, you need your hands in basketball. So
I was
going to
say, that sounds
like
at least, I mean, I'm no doctor, but it sounds like it's at least like a couple months.
Yep. Yeah, I saw in the comments 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, I was gonna
say that's right around the playoff start.
Is it a shooting hand?
I don't know. I didn't see the game. I got an update on my phone saying that Russell Westbrook fractured his hand. I don't know if it's his left or his right. Mm. Obviously, in basketball, you need both hands. It's not like football where you can wrap it up and call it a day. I don't know, and I'm not sure how that's gonna affect the team yet, because he does bring a lot of energy to the team when the team is lacking energy. A problem with the Clippers since Kawhi and PG have been there is that they start really slow. Also against young teams. So like the Kings, the Timberwolves, OKC, like those guys are young. They have a young core, so they jump on you quick.
Right.
And it takes a while for the Clippers to get adjusted to that and to their energy. And, you know, so they always have like these first quarter deficits. So whenever we would kind of be lacking in energy, Ty would bring Russ in. Russ would kind of bring the energy, make some good passes, get a couple layups or dunks or steals, and, you know, then they'd be able to – the team was like, okay, now we're matching their energy and we can compete. So now with Russ out of the equation for the next 6-7 weeks or who knows how long, I'm not sure who can replace him in that sense. I mean, you have other guys who can step in, but I don't know how they replace the energy and the heart that Russ brings to the court every day. So that's obviously an issue. But overall, they're in a top four seed. They're three games out from the number one seed. They're battling with OKC. They're battling with T-Wolves. And they're battling with Denver. Denver, I think, is eventually going to get one of those first two seeds. It looks like they've turned on playoff time, and they're playing like it. Yeah,
after spanking the Lakers earlier tonight.
Yeah.
It's actually the left hand, so it's not the shooting hand, which is not bad. But so
wrap it up then, bro.
So I kind of wanted to talk. So now let's go into the hypothetical world. So if, well, actually, when you guys make the playoffs, because you guys should, obviously, the one thing that I'm finally gonna just like give you credit for is James Harden doesn't have to be one of the better guys on the team, because you got Kawhi and you got Paul George. I've had with James Harden. As far as those three, James Harden is the third fucking option.
Yeah.
So
he's
James,
been playing like the second, though, because Paul George has been...
He's been, yeah.
MIA.
But the team is basically built around Kawhi and Paul George. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that this is where I don't know exactly how far you guys can go, because you guys have been playing really well before the little hiccup that you guys have. And but you guys match up really well. You guys have the bodies to go against Denver. You guys do have the athleticism to go against the younger teams. And the playoffs, obviously, the intensity goes up. And the like the if you're a fast-breaking team, the speed of it goes down.
Yeah, so the offense slows down.
Exactly. So that's going to help you guys out so much.
Yes.
But basically, James Harden being the third option is such a huge help for you guys, because James Harden doesn't have that pressure on him to come up as the biggest player in the series. And we know that James Harden, in the past, he's completely choked. So this is why I'm just like, I don't know how to gauge you guys. You guys can go to the Western Conference Finals. You guys can make it to the NBA Finals.
So you guys are saying that.
But there's always something that happens with you guys. It's an injury, or if it's a player with his play, he completely chokes. Ty Lue's a great coach, so he hasn't really had a lot of coaching woes. So I don't think that's going to happen. But there's always something with you guys that always happens in the postseason, which makes me not pick you guys to go to the NBA Finals.
Well, and that's all fair. I would like to shed some light on one thing that I've been thinking about lately, especially after this Laker loss. I don't think Ty Lue's that good of a coach.
Sheesh.
I think everyone says that. Everyone thinks that because, yes, he got the championship with LeBron. And I don't know where he gets this treatment that, like, he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. I'm telling you, watch the Clippers. Watch whenever they're on national television, just watch a game, especially recently. Their offense is so predictable. I don't know why, like, especially in these losses against OKC, the T-Wolves, Sacramento, and the Lakers. It's James Harden taking a ball up, maybe one pass to another player, and everyone just clears out. It's dribble, dribble. Let me beat the guy in front of me, and let me either drive to the basket and get fouled, or make it the shot, or pull up for a three. There's no fluidity to the offense. I watch the Kings. I watch like the Warriors, and it looks like the ball is always moving, and that's where they find success because they find the open guy. I never see any of that in the Clippers. I saw that when they were doing well, because they would drive and kick out.
Before James Harden trade, or?
No, during the James Harden trade. Okay, so they would drive and kick out to a shooter, and then drive again and kick out to another shooter, or someone who's cutting in. And in these past losses against good playoff teams, because they'll do this against the Wizards, they'll do this against, the Warriors, who aren't that good. They did it against the Lakers, but like against really good teams or playoff teams, they seem to just get stagnant with their offense, and it seems like Ty doesn't know how to figure out the rotations at that point. He also, I blame him partially for the Laker loss, because at the beginning of the fourth quarter, he had Mason Plumlee in there. He had Russell Westbrook, PJ Tucker, Terrence Mann, and I forget who the fifth was, but it wasn't a shooter. It must have been Amir Coffey.
Mm.
You can't have those guys in the lineup to start the fourth. I understand you're resting James Harden and Kawhi, and Paul George didn't play because he was injured.
Zubac, did he play? Or no?
No, Zubac was out. Mm. But like Mason Plumlee had three straight turnovers. Like PJ Tucker's been bitching a lot about wanting to go to a different team because he's not getting any playing time with the Clippers. So they've been giving him playing time. He had a wide open corner three, and isn't that PJ Tucker's like signature shot?
Yeah.
He didn't even shoot it. He fucking passed it. And it was like, PJ Tucker's a bum, bro. I don't want to see him touch the court again. I don't care how much he bitches or cries about wanting to be in rotation, he shouldn't be, especially after that, is terrible. So Ty let that ride for 4 minutes, and that's when LeBron got hot, and then finally he brings back the starters. But by then the offense was so flustered that they couldn't do anything, and LeBron just went apeshit. So,
well, Ty Lue gets his whole like coaching credibility because of that 3-1, like that cemented him.
Well, and I was gonna say, like, you don't hire, I mean, I'm not gonna pretend to be an X's and O's expert, but like, you hire Ty Lue because of his ability to handle stars, and he's generally considered a player's coach. So like it's not like when you're hiring him, you're not getting Popovich, you're not getting Spo, you're not even getting Bud to an extent. You're just getting a guy that can truly manage a team that's got a ton of stars and former stars.
No, that's true.
I just need more from that offense. The defense looks fine. You know, they go to zone sometimes, they go to man sometimes, they don't fight over screens and they get beat. The defense, whatever, I don't care. I need that offense to be better because it's going to bite them in the ass against good teams in the playoffs. And I'm telling you, and then you could probably wait until the playoffs to watch the Clipper games, but you'll see the offense is literally just James Harden or Kawhi or Paul George taking it up. They get maybe one little bullshit screen from Zubac where it's not even a good screen. And
then it's one-on-one.
And then it's one-on-one. And it's like, we can't keep doing this. Like, this is what happens every year. They do this and then they get beat. It's so annoying.
Then why the hell did you guys trade for James Harden? Because that's literally his offense.
I don't know. I know. But when they were doing well on their win streak in December and January, it didn't look like that. So I don't know what's fucking happened. I don't know why. I don't know. That's why something. This shit might be rigged, bro. Like, I don't know, man. I'm just like, bro, how are you guys playing one way in 1 month? And now this month, it's like you don't want to? Like, I don't understand. I've never really played, like, high-level basketball. Is it, like, a fatigue thing? Is it like a laziness thing? Is it like I'm not uninspired? Like, because in football, like, you have to play your scheme. There's no like lazy scheme in football because you get smacked in the fucking mouth. So, like, I don't know. So maybe Daryl, you can speak on that. Maybe sometimes halfway through the season, the player's just like, eh.
Yeah. That's
kinda... I don't want to set a screen. I don't want to drive to the hoop. I don't want to cut, you know.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to move without the ball. Like,
I was gonna say, it's kind of like a laziness thing. It's just like, you know, like if a play is happening, you know what the right move would be for the play. But sometimes you just don't want to fucking do it because it's like you got to put in that extra effort. And I've been fucking guilty of that mad times. Like, I just don't want to fucking, okay, I got to cut this way, but it's like I just don't want to do it. So then that's what's gonna lead to the offense to look very stagnant. But if this happens during playoffs, then obviously that's when the alarms just start going off because it's like, this is the fucking playoffs.
Why are now, man. We need a top 2 seed, top 3 seed minimum. Like, we can't, I do not want to play the Suns in the first round. That's going to be a tough series. And then they have to play the number 1 seed, who's probably going to be Denver or the T-Wolves. And the T-Wolves, like, as much shit as they want to give them and not respect them, they're a solid team. Maybe they're Utah from 3 years ago with that number 1 seed and Rudy Gobert, but
facts.
They're a solid team. Yeah, I'd rather play OKC.
Well, and you really don't want to catch Denver in the second round.
Yeah, exactly. Like, facts. No one wants to see Denver in the second round. Like,
if you guys match up with the Phoenix Suns first round, I actually think it's going to be easy. I actually think it's going to be an easy one for you guys if you guys can fucking remain healthy.
They beat the Suns every time they played them this year, but it's just like
the Suns are frauds. I'm sorry to say, yeah, KD's my fucking guy.
They're
but,
top heavy. Yeah,
yeah.
But D-Book and K Durant, man, I don't want that smoke.
But that's it compared to Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, Westbrook will be there. Like, the Suns, I think they're frauds, and they're like Risa. They're too hot, top heavy.
Well, they're still 5th seed, and they're holding strong.
Yeah, but it's a regular season, bro. And Beal is like out every other fucking week.
Yeah, what happened to Beal?
He's injured.
Injuries, right?
Yeah. It's a rolled ankle. It's his back. It's his hamstring. Like, this guy can't stay healthy, bro. Like, I don't know how they're going to be able to do in the playoffs because they haven't had a lot of time together to play.
Talk about a guy who decided to wait too long to give a shit about winning.
Yeah, but...
Bradley Beal, yeah.
Like, he waited way too long to be like, oh, now I want
to
win.
To the ire of Heat fans everywhere, which, like, God, like, if he wants to win, like, we'll take him. We'll take him. But, yeah, that's another topic for another day.
And that Laker loss, I know you say it's not a big deal. It was a big fucking deal to me. To this rivalry... It was a huge deal because this is the last time it's the last time in a hallway series because Clippers get their new arena. And like,
right.
What Clipper fashion of a way to go out than for you to have a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter and it be completely blown and LeBron outscored the entire Clipper team in the fourth quarter. And it was just a shitty way to go out. And even though the Clippers still own the hallway series against the Lakers by 1 game. it's just a bad way to go out. So
it was the right way to go out in our own building.
It was the right way to go out. That's
the only way to go out.
You pay rent. You have no statues. Sayonara. We had the last laugh, and I think that solidifies LeBron. Honestly, He's going to be the GOAT, Daryl.
Is he getting a Lakers statue? Well,
he shouldn't. No, he absolutely should not. No,
he'll is get, he? Jeannie said, yeah, she's yeah, open yeah, to yeah, it.
That's a travesty.
If, I'm going to tell you, if, we win, if he wins one more chip with the Lakers, for sure.
That's no, not
he
shouldn't.
For sure.
It's fucking, that's not yeah. happening.
No, no,
I don't think it's happening either. But two rings? What the fuck? You're playing for the Lakers. You're in the company of Magic, who has 5'6". Kareem, who has 5. Fucking James Worthy. Like, Kobe. Shaq. Like, these players have a minimum of 3. LeBron's going to retire with one and get a statue? Get the fuck out of here.
LeBron's going to have 3 statues. Cleveland, Miami.
Is he getting one in Miami, Reed?
Yeah, probably.
For sure.
Yeah, it's going to be deserving? It's going to be yeah, he's deserving. It'll be a little bit, but he'll get one.
Oh my god. He's deserving in Miami?
Yeah.
What? Bosh too?
No, the reason why I say no to LeBron getting a statue in Miami is because he was only there for 4 seasons, 2 championships. I get it. But Dwayne Wade obviously deserves a statue. But
he's getting one. Yeah, they just announced it.
Yeah, 100%. But LeBron James, it was only 4 seasons.
But he won two chips.
He's responsible for 2 of the 3 championships for the franchise. Look, I'm not going to die on that hill. Like, if he doesn't get one, I'm not going to be upset about it. But if he got one, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think he deserves one from Miami. I think Cleveland, and that's it.
We're talking about different franchises, though. Like, with the Lakers, it's understandable because that's such a long, like, an old and storied franchise. The Heat were founded in, what, 94, 95, yeah, something like that.
Mid-90s.
They're a 30-year-old franchise compared to the Lakers, who are what, like a 60, 80-year-old franchise, something like that.
But when you say the Miami Heat, what players? Give me the top 3 players that you think about when you say the Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade.
I mean, for me growing up, it was Dwayne Wade, Tim Hardaway, and Alonzo Mourning. But if you would ask like a younger fan than me, they'll probably say Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and Jimmy Butler.
Chalmers.
Or Chris Bosh.
Oh, man. I just...
Man,
I
no love for Birdman, Birdman.
Birdman, Birdman. Birdman. Yeah, I don't...
No Mario Chalmers, no Ray Allen. Damn.
I don't think LeBron deserves a statue. Shaq. But since we're talking about the Miami Heat, Clippers, we gave the nice little recap. Reed, obviously. Little recap, because you guys are not doing shit. And Kawhi's going to get injured. Reed, Miami boy, talk to us about the Miami Heat. Tell us about what you've been liking from the team that you've been seeing, or anywhere you want to go, the trade, anywhere.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, the Heat are probably the only thing I'm qualified to talk about right now, because for me, the NBA season started last week after football ended.
Facts.
So the Heat are the only team I've really been following closely. But
we're still watching the NFL Combine.
Literally, exactly.
As we're recording this.
I'm still fucking cool. Hell.
We're just, you know... We're going to get Daryl to migrate over. It's going to be like an osmosis thing.
Shut up. It's not happening.
It's funny because like this Heat team, I feel like the regular season every single year you just throw it out because it's clearly not a predictor. Last year I said I didn't think they'd make it past the second round of the playoffs. Obviously, they made it all the way to the NBA Finals. In years past, I was on the bandwagon when everyone else was off of it because they just didn't think they had enough firepower. It's so hard to predict what this team's going to be. I like this iteration of the team a lot. It feels like every week Dariel is like calling me or texting me about Jaime Jaquez.
I texted you the other night because they were playing the Sacramento Kings and he had a move
filthy,
in the post.
Filthy footwork.
The footwork was Kobe Bryant-esque. And I was like, and this is what I'm saying. It's like Jaime adds another element. He's young. He's more athletic than people think.
Yep.
And he adds another element going into the playoffs. We know Jimmy Butler doesn't play until literally the end of April.
Yeah.
So... I know he's a rookie, so you're putting a lot on a rookie, but he's a 4-year college player.
Yes.
So like he's a little bit more mature than your average rookies. And the Heat right now, they're in 6th place with a record of 34-26. So if the playoffs started right now today, they're playing against the Milwaukee Bucks, 3rd seed. I'm taking the Miami Heat in that.
Well, yeah. I mean, look what they did to the Bucks last year. Was in the first round, I think.
Yeah, it was.
This is like I want to talk about like Jaquez, and like I know this has become like a sort of a cliche at this point, but this is where like the Heat culture comes in. Like it's a big deal. Jaquez doesn't become Jaquez if he's on another team. Like Duncan Robinson doesn't become Duncan Robinson if he's on another team. Like I remember like some of the reports out of practice at the time was that like Duncan Robinson would get benched in games if he wasn't taking open shots. Like the whole and he was an undrafted rookie.
Yeah,
you know, like they're feeding him the ball and they're like essentially bullying him into taking shots. And if he like passed one up, Spo would bench him. And like during practice, they do the same thing. So it's really this sort of baptism by fire that they have. And like this is why, you know, they have such a high success rate in drafting. Even if they don't become all-stars, they become very, very good pro players. I mean, just look at the last 3-4 draft picks. It's like Jaquez, I mean, Precious Achiuwa, we can skip over. You got Hero in there, obviously. Bam. Justice Winslow. Like, that's a very high hit rate. And, like, some of them are journeymen. Some of them are, like, all-star players like Bam, and hopefully Hero can stay healthy and become one himself. But Hawkes looks like, yeah, he looks like a 5-6 year vet at this point. Like, and his game is so, so impressive. Like, he doesn't make mistakes. He's really, really good on defense. I like this team a lot. I'm actually I'm hopeful that Jovic can get some good minutes too. Like, he's starting to come along. He was really, really young when the Heat drafted him. I think he was like 17, maybe 18. Like, he's a really nice player, but he just needed to develop physically.
Yeah.
But he's getting some good minutes now. I like, there's a lot to this team that I like. And obviously we still got Caleb Martin, who, you know, defensively is really, really good and gives us some much needed length.
And you guys just picked up Terry Rozier with the trade with Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I like the Rozier acquisition because at times this team really struggles to find an offensive spark. And we were missing Hero in the postseason last year with that. It especially caught up to us against Denver. But even like not being able to put Boston away until game 7, I think was a result of not having Hero available. Just like you needed... There are times where this team goes through long droughts offensively and you need someone to can kind of create their own offense. Jimmy can do that, but there are times where he becomes like he defers too much. Like, he wants to become, you know, the sort of classic point guard. And that's not, I mean, it can be his game, but like he needs to, I think at times needs to be able to feel it out better through the night and know like his services are needed to be more of a scoring option.
Mm.
But in general, I'm excited about this team heading into the postseason. I think, like, I mean, I know we're still like a month or so away from it, but maybe two. But I think this team, the things that concern me are length and athleticism. The Heat, even the last few years, even like getting to the postseason and into the finals, they've been built on like intensity, tenacity. Did you guys see? By the way, you see that clip? I think it was Iggy talking about like how the Heat prep for like different games and different players.
Mm-mm.
He was talking to Jason Tatum and he was telling him, he's like, just like they have the Jordan rules, they have the Tatum rules. And it's not just like, oh, like, you know, if this happens, you know, we're going to do like this defensive setup, like switch to man or switch to zone. It's like, no, if he dribbles left, this is what you do. If he dribbles right, this is what you do. If he takes three steps, you do this. If he takes five steps, you do that. It's like extremely, extremely detailed and like down to the minutia.
Oh shit! And I think
that's why you've seen these Heat teams make it like so much further than anyone thought they would these past few years. Is because the prep is unreal. It's like the stuff we hear about from NFL teams. You know, it's like the degree of armchair scouting and film review and like everything that goes into it.
The detail,
like,
to attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's how the Heat stopped their most recent losing skid. They lost like, what was it? Like 6-7 in a row. And it seemed like nothing could go. They were losing to bad teams too. And it just felt like nothing they were doing was going right. And it's just like a hard reset. They had a long film session. They were like, you know, it's like, they're really honest with each other about what they were fucking up on and what they were doing well. And then they rattle off like another, again, like 7-8 in a row or something crazy like that. So,
yeah.
So I think like, again, this is why we struggled to get over the hump. Like, the Lakers just killed us on the boards. Like, their length was unreal when we met them in the finals.
In the bubble?
In the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with the Nuggets. Like, that length and athleticism, like everyone on their team is like 6-7 and above. There's like, you know, other than Bam, usually like I think the average height on the floor is like 6'6", 6'7". So it's like that's where we get into trouble. It's like those longer, more athletic teams, especially when you're getting that deep into the playoffs, because they're not green anymore. It's not like teams that have like young guys that are athletic and still kind of like don't really have mastery of the game yet. It's these like veteran, long, athletic teams that can kind of really, really put the pressure on them defensively.
Yeah, Ray. So I want to ask you, I know it's super hard to kind of give an analysis on the Miami Heat because like we always keep saying Jimmy Butler at the end of April turns into Jimmy Jordan, and then they're making an NBA Finals run, which nobody's ever saw. So I know it's hard to give a prediction of like the ceiling of this team in your eyes. Before I ask you that question, I just want to give you some numbers. We talked about Jaime Jaquez a little earlier. Jaime Jaquez for the season is averaging 13 points. He is averaging four rebounds, 2.5 assists, From the field, he is shooting 49%. Three-point percentage, he's shooting 31.8 on three attempts. And I also want to give some love to Duncan Robinson because you mentioned him a little earlier.
Yeah, Sniper Duncan's back.
From the bubble season.
Yeah.
When he literally could not dribble.
He's filled out his game a lot.
A lot. Yeah. A lot. He's making plays. So I want to give him a huge shout out, which is actually going to add another element.
He can put the ball on the floor now.
Yeah, that's going to add another element in the playoffs. Hopefully Duncan Robinson can come up.
I agree.
Come up big, I mean. But yo, like, what do you think? Like, do you think they can make another finals run? Because in the East, in my eyes, the only 100% leader in the East is Boston. Everybody else falls behind them. And obviously, Boston and Miami have had this rivalry since, I don't know, it really started like 4 or 5 seasons ago. So do you think you guys can make another finals run?
I do. And it's funny because the only team I fear in this postseason is Denver.
Not even like, Boston?
No, I don't fear Boston. Because, like,
interesting.
Boston is the more talented team, absolutely. But I'm taking Spo over any coach in the league, not just Joe Mazzulla, but I'm taking Spo over any coach in the league. And I just think, like, this team has proven over and over again that it doesn't matter how talented we think Boston is, or how talented we think the Sixers are, or how talented we think Milwaukee is. They still somehow find a way to win every single year.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's no team in the East that I fear. The only team I fear, and it's really just because of Jokic, is Denver. So like that, I'd be interested to see, like, after last year's finals and the games you get against them this year, if seeing them again in the finals, would like how Spo would adjust to him and alter the game plan. I thought it was interesting that they played Denver close the other night, because this is the thing, is like the Heat with teams that are more talented than them have to make it ugly. They have to make it a low scoring defensive, right. And Denver at any moment can just go on a huge run offensively. That's what killed us last year in the finals. So I think this team can make it back to the finals? Absolutely. Would I predict that? No. I would say Eastern Conference Finals. The Eastern Conference Finals, I think, is a safe bet. Depends on where the seeding comes out and their pathway. But who knows? I would have said that last year, and they went through a gauntlet. And I'm really excited for the postseason, because I'm curious to find out about what this Heat team really is, just like everyone else.
Well, actually, I would like to mention, what a fumble by the Lakers to not get Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah,
what
that was a big fumble. I talked to Reed about that too. Local boy.
Bro, Rasa would have been shown out for. I probably would have got a Jaime Jaquez jersey, bro. Like,
the thing with the Lakers is that we don't draft well. We just trade well. You know, we've always done trades. Look at Kobe. Look at Shaq. They all been traded. Fumble, the only true
local
draft
kid.
Pick. Do you know what the only draft pick that's really worked out for us is? Probably just Magic Johnson. You know, other than that, all the other Lakers have been traded.
Kobe?
No, we didn't draft.
Oh, damn,
draft
you're right. My bad. You're right.
Come on,
right,
pay
right,
attention.
Right.
Wake
sorry,
up,
sorry,
Mr.
Sorry,
New York.
Sorry.
Damn.
Easy you're in the middle of it. Wake
right.
up.
Wake bad, up, bad, man. Get bad, your fucking bad. Head in the game.
Have you guys seen that Shia LaBeouf meme that's been circling now?
So, real quick, you think the Miami Heat have a chance for Eastern Conference, honestly?
Always, yeah. Yeah,
not like always.
As long as
wake up. He's been talking about it the whole time. He literally said he'd go to the finals.
No, I know he says always, but in his like heart, like this year for real, like what you see.
Absolutely, yeah.
They can always go to the Eastern Conference Finals, Santi.
This team is more than capable of it. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to, but last year I thought they'd get bounced in the second round and they made it all the way to the finals. The year before I thought they'd do really well and they came up short against the Bucks. Like, I'm honestly, like, I'm giving a prediction because I feel like to a degree I have to, but also like I am kind of interested in seeing it, like how well I can do this year compared to previous years. But like, I have no clue. I will say this. I'm very confident in this team going into the postseason.
Everybody's with you. Nobody knows how far they can actually go. Nobody knows. So if they actually go to the finals, we can see it. If they get bounced out in the first or second round, we can see that.
I want
to
see Jimmy's running out of years too, so I'd really like to see him get a ring, hopefully this year, but if not, next year at the latest.
If Jimmy Jordan has another run like he did last year, I'm putting him in top five. Don't fucking at me. Don't fucking question
top
me. I'm putting him top five.
No,
you can't have consistent Jimmy Jordan Superman runs like that and not be in the top five.
Top five of what?
Of all time?
No, he's talking about current players.
Current players. If he has another run like he did last year, he's automatic top five in my book. Right now, he's automatic top 10. He's like seven through 10
right now.
He's
seven.
He's hurt right now, right?
Yeah, no, he's not playing right now.
He's been playing. Yeah, he's been playing. So I'm just like, if he does, if he has another run like that, like I'm done underestimating him. I'm done not thinking about him. He's automatic.
He just
needs
a ring,
top five.
Yeah,
I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's gonna get it, Reed. Yeah, unfortunately,
he might be.
Look, if I had to bet on it, I would say, or I wouldn't bet against him. But like, I think if Vegas was setting odds against it, I think like you'd get a better line on the yes, because I think Vegas is basically hoping that everyone takes yes, because he will get a ring. Yeah, because I'd say odds are that he doesn't. Like
if odds are that he doesn't, you're saying that the people would bet that he will get a ring?
Yeah, because the public would bet on yes, I think. So Vegas is going to want to incentivize that. So, but like you're going to get minus money on no.
Yeah, I think the only way he'll get a ring is that later on in his career, he'll be like the third option.
So, hey, wait, real quick. You said if Jaime Jaquez joined the Lakers, you would have got a jersey?
It was hyperbole. I was joking.
Heard that, right?
I didn't hear that.
You didn't hear it?
Sasi's about to custom order one.
I was just saying, what a fumble by the Lakers to not pick him.
Yeah.
Like, the talent was there. You could see it at UCLA. Like, I think, I don't know why people are against like a four-year player in college. I think 100%. If anything, it helps them.
I agree. Yeah. He's mature.
Unless you're like an otherworld talent.
Because in the NBA, though, you're drafting for upside.
Exactly.
And that's like, Jaquez fits in a Heat culture. Like, he's probably at his ceiling. He might have a little bit more room to grow.
Not at his ceiling, bro.
I'm not saying
he's
like.
He's a rook.
He's not at 100% of it, but he's probably like 80%
of his
ceiling.
But he's still got a higher level to go, though.
Yeah. But like, he's not. Like, I think the odds that he becomes even Jimmy Butler from a career, like, perspective is, I think it's still a long shot for that. He's a very good 15 a night player for 10 to 15 years.
You think he could be an all-star?
I think he's like a...
I think so.
I think he's a fringe all-star with a little bit upside, a little bit more upside on top of that.
Way better than the sixth man of the year. Like, I think he had, I don't know. We'll see.
He's like an Oladipo.
Okay,
like that's
kind
of like, obviously, Depot's had a ton of injuries in the last.
Depot's out of the league.
But I'm saying, like, remember, there was like that 3-year stretch where Depot was like,
I'm serious.
I like very good fringe all-star player. Didn't get hurt. He was a problem, bro.
He was, especially
see
when
he
was
how
in
he used
Indiana.
To play?
He was going
bro,
crazy.
I know. If he didn't get hurt, yeah.
I'm sorry.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, and Depot was very good for like 3-4 years. And I think that's where, like, ceiling wise, I think that's about where Jaquez could be ceiling wise.
Interesting.
Real quick, where are they ranked? I don't even know.
They just fell to six.
Pay attention. I said it earlier. They're six.
I was watching the 4-2-2.
It's funny because the last few weeks have been hilarious because just before the All-Star break, they were, I think, the 8 seed, and they climbed all the way up to 5, and then they fell back down to 6 recently after, they won tonight, so I don't know what they are now. But
6 seed matches up with who?
No.
The 3rd seed.
Cleveland? No, I know, but like, who is it right now?
Milwaukee is 3rd right now.
Ooh. I'm good. They're 34.
I'm taking Miami because
Giannis. Okay, so if the playoffs stopped today and it was Milwaukee and Miami,
Bucks
you would take Miami.
Yeah, they're two
fucking mess, bro.
With Dame time,
no,
it's
with
your
Dame.
Boy Doc.
Yeah, that's another reason.
They got more problems than just.
But
Doc.
He always gets to the second round, though. 100%. He gets to the second round,
ooh. Dude. But you haven't watched?
I haven't.
They're a mess, dog. Yeah. They're like defensively, like they just. I get it. Dame and Giannis, two top 75 players, but. There's something up with that
it's
team.
The
where
coaching.
When do we start saying
Doc
Dame is overrated?
No,
well,
no,
saying.
It's not that. No. It's just like he doesn't. I understand why the Bucks made the move, but like
100%.
He and Giannis are two like ball centric players that I don't know how well their games fit together. To be honest,
I don't know. I never really.
Dame, you gonna die on that hill? Dame is overrated.
I just think everyone likes to suck his dick, and it's just like, bro, like. You were great on a bad team for a very long time, and like Bradley Beal, he waited too long to decide to care that he wanted to win.
Yeah, he's like 35 now, right?
Yeah, and it's like, and now you're on the Bucks, and then you know everyone expects you to, you know, you Dame match with a top. We all agree Giannis is a top five player. To do some things, and I feel like the NBA is one of the few sports, along with soccer, where you can have two when even if the rest of the team is bad, if you had two great players, it should still be enough to like gain some success. And granted, they're a third seed, but like to lose in the first round against Miami, that would be a story where I would say maybe we should dial it back on Dame, and he was just a great player on a crap team for a long time.
I think it's a coaching problem over there.
He had the one shot against PG, and that's like his signature thing, and he'll always be known for that. But outside of that, what is he? Has he touched the Western Conference Final? I think he went once.
They shouldn't have got rid of Jrue Holiday. Like him and Middleton defensively is
what Middleton that, is. He's pretty much washed.
Yeah, I agree.
He's had too many injuries, so that's another problem.
I'm just saying, it's food for thought.
No, I mean, it's kind of hard because I don't think he's been a good player on a bad team, because some of those Portland teams were good. It's just they were in the middle of a fucking Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green era. Like people
also, I think we're starting to see
fucking dynasty though.
I think we're starting to see the NBA change again. Like it going back to what you said about like generally speaking, historically, if a team has two good players, like it just you figure out a way and it eventually works. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. Like, you have to give up so much now to get these players, and you have to sign them these contracts that are impossible to move. And so, like, that just like, I just feel like there's so much less flexibility in the NBA than there used to be as far as player acquisition and draft capital. Like, it just seems like you need two good players whose games fit together, and you need a bench. Like, I mean, look at the teams that have won championships the past few years, and look at how complete their games. Like, Jokic and Murray, their games fit so well together. They fit so incredibly well together. Yeah. And even these Heat teams are like, even if they're not the most talented, you know, like they've got really great chemistry, and the pieces fit together really well. Like those are the kinds of Boston, for all their flaws. Like, they knew what they were. They were a team whose, like, offense ran through Tatum or Jaylen, whoever was having the hot hand. Marcus Smart gave you really great minutes. He gave you really great defense. Like, Horford was a good inside presence. And they had a lot of, like, Derek White. It's just, like, pure effort. You know, like, all these pieces fit together. And they're, like, the Bucks had that. And then I think they hit the panic button when they got eliminated last year, when they had a team that fit together really well.
Well, right before they traded for Dame, Giannis was, I believe Giannis was saying some shit to the media saying how, like, he wants to retire as a Milwaukee Buck, but it's a business. And Giannis was had these quotes in these articles. And then right after those quotes came out, that's when the Milwaukee organization was like, yo, we got to make a move. And they kind of hit the panic button and they went to Dame. But since we're talking about since you bring up kind of like the overall landscape of the NBA, I want to kind of pick your guys' brains about the NBA right now. There's been a lot of talk about just how the offense is pretty much running the NBA and how like the scores are like 150, 145.
Yeah, those 70 numbers from Doncic and Embiid,
it's
like 2K. Scoring. Yeah.
So like, are you guys actually enjoying watching the games?
Not until the postseason. No, not really.
But, like,
to me, a bigger issue is referees. I think the calls this season have been, like, the bad calls that have affected, like, the end of games and results, I think have been terrible. Like, I'm telling you, sometimes I watch these games, and I'm like, I don't know if, like, the legalization of sports gambling has anything to do with this, but some of these calls, I'm like, how is it so blatantly clear? Like, the Detroit one, I guess, most recently. Did you guys see the Detroit and Knicks? Did you see that one?
Oh, that one? Yeah, that was pretty bad. Bro. That was really bad. Yeah.
Come on.
That was really bad. Also,
but this is because who was it? Was it? I think it was JJ Redick who like went on this whole rant about how like the last six major rules changes that have been implemented by the NBA have all favored the defense. And I think he's right, but I think that the thing is though, like the referees still call the game the way they have the last 10 years, right? Which is like the slightest bit of contact is considered a foul now. Like there's no physicality of the game anymore. And so like defense has become essentially non-existent. It's the first team in 130 wins, and that's not basketball. That's like a 3-point contest.
I think the NBA has a referee issue. They have a physicality issue, and I don't know if offensive makes a game more intriguing or less intriguing. I just feel like the NBA right now is not a great product. I think when you have like the NFL and, you know, even though we don't see it currently, soccer is surging.
Yeah.
And the NHL F1, in its own way is. Yeah,
F1.
F1's surging. So you just have all these other sports where like NBA isn't the dominant sport. And I think it's third after baseball, right?
Third, yeah.
Wait, it's football, baseball, and then NBA?
Yeah. No, it's no pro football, way. College football.
Well, yeah. Then, yeah, it is. Yo, it's pro football, college football. Yeah.
True. And then baseball and then NBA?
Right?
No way.
I don't know for sure, but I know pro football and college football are one, too.
Yeah,
I think hockey sometimes could be more exciting.
I get it.
No, but we're talking about like from a ratings perspective.
From a ratings perspective, I'm pretty sure NBA is fourth.
Yeah,
and
for
I know like Adam Silver has been making this whole push that they want to be the second most popular sport in the NBA. Also, internationally, they want to be second to soccer. And
no way, second to soccer.
I think they already are.
Well, in, like, internationally,
maybe cricket. In
China, I don't know how China, much. I don't know what cricket and tennis and what those look like, but I know like I know that's like a concerted effort that NBA has been trying to make. And I just feel like when I see certain games, and I only mainly watch Clipper games, I see a lot of these bad calls by the refs, and I hear other stories about these other blatantly bad calls. It just looks like a bad product, and I don't think there's another sport that has that issue. I know NFL usually has some referee issues, but overall, it's still a very good product. I don't know. I don't know.
I think, like, and part, this is no, there's no easy solution to this, because I think for better or for worse, and a lot of it is for the better, like, players are obviously... NBA players are some of the best compensated athletes in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the, like, for a sport, you know, that has had its issues over the years, they really, truly take care of their players. A lot of that has come from the MBPA.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is a much more complex issue than, like, oh, if they just did this, this, and this, then we could fix it. But, like, I think the reason why the NFL is like, just such a superior product is... Player mobility is different in the NFL than it is in the NBA, right? In the NBA, a player wants out, he basically throws a tantrum and forces a team to trade him.
Facts.
In the NFL, it's like, hey, I want to move, like, get rid of me now because I'm not going to sign a contract extension. But a team is at least getting something in return for him. They're getting, like, draft capital. And not that that doesn't happen in the NBA, but it's so, like, you can cut players, trade for players. You can, like, call people up from the practice squad. And I know this is, like, these are all, like, versions of this that exist in the NBA. But, like, the salary cap matching is just such, I mean, like, it's so embedded into the NBA culture at this point that I don't think there's anything you can do to change it. But that, to me, is a big problem. The fact that, like, everything that the NBA does is to, like, appease its players as opposed to create the best product for the viewing audience.
So the player empowerment is actually hurting the NBA in your eyes?
It's gone too far, yeah.
I think hurting's a strong word. I just think it's, like, it doesn't have the same... It doesn't have the results that I think it's intended, and things have been taken advantage of. Like, look at the All-Star game. Like... All-Star?
Yo, don't get me started.
Yo, like, I mean, I personally, like, I really enjoy All-Star Saturday night. I always have since I was a kid. I love the three-point contest. The dunk contest used to be really exciting. Now, I mean, it's just like, and I think Stephen A. made a point on the show that LeBron kind of ruined a dunk contest by being too cool to participate in it. And since then, like, the major stars haven't participated in the dunk contest, where prior to that, it was like, all the big stars participated in the
dunk contest. Yeah, but that's across all leagues at this point. Like, All-Star games and three-point contests and home run derbies, like, those, I mean, that's not a...
Yeah, that's true. You're right. And the NFL, like, Pro Bowl is, like, non-existent. It's a flag football game now.
Yeah.
But it makes sense there. But I think the point I'm trying to make about the All-Star game is that, like, I think they can put a little more effort than literally just, like, standing by while someone just takes a shot or hits a dunk. I just think that makes a product super unwatchable, and it's like you build up all this like hype for this weekend. You know, you go to a different location and the community or the city that is hosting it puts on all these different events, and it's just for it to end in a product like that. It's just, I just feel like it's very lackluster, and that's like just a testament to how the NBA has been recently, where it feels like the stars don't give a shit. They don't have to give a shit. They have no incentive to give a shit. And it's like, because they run the league, like what they say goes. And I think there's a certain balance to that in every sport. Yes, you should get your money. Yes, you should get your benefits. Yes, you should be taken care of even in retirement. But there has to be like checks and balances.
GMs are hamstrung. That's the thing. It's like players have all the power, and like,
we would have Shea if it wasn't for Kawhi.
Well, and this is the thing: is like people will point to like the Dame situation as evidence that, you know, the teams, if they really want to do something, can still do that. But I think, like, first of all, Joe Cronin got absolutely destroyed publicly for not appeasing Dame in that situation. And like, when you complain about Harden, Dario, like, every, like, always just like throwing a fit to get his way out of wherever he is in that situation. Like, that's valid, but the NBA has enabled that. They have allowed that to happen over steadily over the course of like 10 to 20 years now. And like, there's a difference between free agency in the sense that like your contract is up, you're looking for your next team, like what LeBron decided to do when he left Cleveland. There's another thing to be like, I just signed an extension last year because the NBA allows me to sign a Supermax, but I am not going to play out this extension. Like, you're going to have to trade me, even though I've got 3 years left on it still. Like, no. that to me is insanity.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you. The players have taken advantage of the player empowerment movement. Adam Silver needs to, he's a little too player friendly.
Way too player friendly. Yeah.
I think David Stern, RIP, when he was still alive, yeah, he pretty much ran a dictatorship, but I
horrible.
Just. Horrible. You think it was horrible?
Yeah, he vetoed the Chris Paul trade, bro, which got
us. But that's another one.
Would have got Kobe two more chips, bro.
Okay.
But
come on, you know that. He literally said it would be unfair.
Let's not talk about hypotheticals, though, because this is like a real.
He wasn't that great. I think it's not the commissioner's fault. I just think we have. Stefan hit on the nail. I think it's a gambling problem. I think a lot of people are in people's pockets now.
Oh, man. I don't think that's the issue.
I think a lot of refs are bought now.
This was an issue long before the proliferation of like modern legalized gambling. This has been going on for like 15 years at this point.
But what exactly?
The player
empowerment movement.
Player stuff? Oh, yeah. I get what you're saying.
So you think it's the player's fault?
I'm not saying it's like the players, because like the players,
I think that's strong language.
Yeah, because like the players, like they are through the NBPA, they're going to advocate for themselves as they should, and they should absolutely be compensated the way they are. That like the revenue splits as far as like TV revenue that they're getting, NBA salaries, all that stuff. What I don't like is the fact it's twofold. One, the salary cap matching rule just seems insane to me. I think just have have some sort of spending floor and some sort of spending cap like you do with the NFL, but like having to match up salaries to me is insane. Like, I don't know, maybe like there's a rule or something that you can figure out with in terms of cutting players or trading players, how you can make level the playing field amongst teams, but like, because you don't want an MLB situation where like just the richest teams are able to get the best players. But at the same time, it's not like the NFL where you've got so much flexibility in terms of roster construction. Like, you can truly flip an NFL roster in one season if you wanted to.
Yep,
you could trade everyone away, flip it, like new line, new quarterback, new receivers, like all of it. And you can't come anywhere close to that in the NBA. And so when you see these guys coming out of college, which is part two of what I think is an issue, is what we were talking about with Jaquez and what we're seeing with a lot of these young prospects, it takes 3 or 4 years or 5 years in some cases for them to even become like good all-star players, let alone elite upper, like all NBA players. And so like, you know, when we're talking about the draft and how someone like Jaime can slip to the Heat at whatever it was, 15, 14, whatever, it's because there aren't, like, Magic Johnson played, what, 2-3 years in college? Like, came out a ready-made prospect? Same with Jordan. Like, you know what you're getting with these players when they play that much college basketball, or in the NFL case, college football.
I mean,
that transition, you're getting a 19-year-old kid that you're just hoping 3 years, 4 years from now develops into an elite player, but you have no clue. And so, like, when you do hit on one of these guys, when you get a Luka, when you get a Ja, when you get whoever, Giannis, he was a slow bake, but it, like, pairing them with another all-star level player is like damn near impossible unless you're acquiring them.
I think, so we're talking about the draft right now, and as far as like the college rule, I always thought that at least it should be 2 years in college.
I agree.
Minimum. I never understood.
Because college basketball is a fucking... joke.
Yeah, it's a joke now. I never understood why they only made it 1 year. I mean, obviously, I get it, the money and the business, but if you're looking to make the product a lot better for college and NBA, not just for one side,
100%.
It's in a minimum of 2 years because of what Reed was saying. Like, the player gets more physically mature, he learns a little bit more, and he's able to implement that on the next level. I never understood why they never moved it up from one to two.